Good morning and welcome to the Thursday, May 19th meeting of the Community Promotions Committee. We have a quorum. We are absent Tracy and Dan. This meeting is now called to order and it looks like we have some public comment. Who wants to go first? We'll have Andrea Klipfel.
Go first. Good morning, committee, city staff. We would like to do a short presentation. I actually have a little visual aid. I don't know if we can do that or not.
Rick, can we do that? A little CD?
Okay. Okay.
Probably would have been good to do that beforehand.
Okay, good morning, committee. My name is Andrea Klipfel. I'm with Edward Jones. I'm also your event chair for the Morro Bay Relay for Life, and it's that time of year again. We wanted to present to you this morning, I have a short video that takes about 3 minutes, just to give you a sense of what Relay is really like, but we're here this morning because our event's coming up August 6th and 7th. It's at the Morro Bay High School campus. It's a 24-hour event. We have a survivor's lap, luminaria ceremony, fight-back ceremony, multiple bands, food, lots of excitement. And really, it's a great event for folks to get out there and really support finding a cure for cancer. I want to show the video first so you get a sense, and then we'll give you a little more detail about why we think it's important for you guys to be up to speed on this.
Okay.
While they're working on the video, we can.
Relay is a time to celebrate the lives of those who battle cancer. Remember.
Okay. I'll give you a little more information. We'll watch the video as a second piece. Last year, we had 22 teams, 95 survivors, and raised over $36,000 for cancer.
I come to Relay.
We're good.
Family, friends.
Okay. Well, go ahead. Go ahead and restart it.
Yeah. Relay.
That's okay.
It's just
in communities across America, Relay for Life brings together more than 3.5 million people in the fight against cancer. A life-saving and life-changing event, Relay is a time to celebrate the lives of those who battle cancer, remember loved ones lost to cancer, and commit to fighting back against the disease.
It's really good to see you.
It's good to be here.
I'm sure it is.
It is.
I come to Relay to celebrate with my family, my friends, and the whole community.
Relay is just an amazing event. It brings total strangers together for one cause.
People always ask me, well, how would I ever describe Relay for Life? And I'll say it's one day, one night, one community, one fight.
I was having some problems with my throat, and I had some ulcers on my throat. He stopped in the door frame, turned around, and says, "Let me examine you, give you a complete physical." As soon as he touched my neck, he knew I went through some biopsies, and sure enough, the results came back that I had thyroid cancer. I didn't know my life had changed at that moment, but everybody else around me knew.
My sister Debbie was my older sister. She was carrying her third child.
At the start of each relay is the powerful survivor's lap.
We have a picture on our mantle. It's a picture of my first survivor lap. It's me smiling. And I have to say, it's probably the most important picture I've ever had.
As darkness falls, the lights of Luminaria shine in honor of those battling cancer and in memory of those lost.
Each of these flags behind me represents someone in my community that's battling cancer. I invite you to come, join the fight, pick up a flag, and let's fight back.
To learn more about how you can join the American Cancer Society and the fight against cancer in your community, call us at 1-800-ACS-2345 or visit us at relayforlife.org. Relay for Life. Celebrate. Remember. Fight back.
Okay, so that wasn't a shameless attempt to make you cry first thing in the morning. It really was to underscore the importance of this event and the importance to our community. All the money that's raised at this event goes to provide services in Morro Bay and the surrounding Estero Bay areas. Programs like Look Good, Feel Great, that provides wigs and makeup to women going through chemotherapy, rides to and from doctor's appointments for cancer patients, support groups for cancer patients like Man to Man, which is a prostate support group. We all know someone that's been touched by cancer in our lives. Not only is this critically important event for the ongoing cancer research to find a cure, it supports cancer patients and care providers in our area. It has the potential to become a huge local event benefiting our business and hotel community. We have a handout. My lovely and attractive assistant, Virginia Biramatsu, is going to hand you out some information on the Bakersfield Relay. Now, as we all know, and you guys know for sure as a promotions committee, Bakersfield tourism plays a big role in our town. And the Bakersfield Relay is the largest in the world. They raised over $2 million this year. They just had their relay at the end of April. Over 400 teams. So I want to explain the impact of this and how this could be a benefit for you folks considering helping us promote this event in the Valley. If you have 400 teams with a minimum of 10 people per team, you're looking at a minimum of 4,000 people participating in this event, plus the day of volunteers and everyone else, you're looking at 5,000, 6,000 people. So, you know, it's a huge opportunity. You know, in the hottest part of the year in Bakersfield, to touch these folks about a cause that they're very passionate about and they're very involved in, and come over to Morro Bay and participate in something you really believe in. So it means, you know, these folks will need a place to stay, they'll need a place to eat. The potential to promote this event and encourage these folks, you know, our suggestion would be, you know, additional relay-friendly promotions. So, you know, for example, discounts at restaurants and merchants for anyone wearing a relay T-shirt during the event. Supporting the event through sponsorships, team participation, or day of fundraising at the event to help promote your business within the relay. And we would really, really love your help to make this our biggest event yet. This is our third year. We have with us also Heather Caudill, who is our representative from American Cancer Society, and she has something to share with you today.
It was pretty exciting to hear that for the year 2010, Morro Bay received an award for exceeding their income goal as a relay. And it's one of those things for a second year event to have that's unheard of. So that's a pretty powerful suggestion to show that Morro Bay is a very vital community and that we just have potential to grow even more.
So just to wrap this up, this is a huge... So to wrap this up, this is a critically important event for the folks suffering from cancer in our own community. But at the same time, we want to make this a flagship event for this community as well. And we've been involving service groups from Cayucas up to Cambria, Los Osos. And so coming together as a community to support folks in need. And we wanted to talk to you today and give you hopefully some food for thought about helping us promote event in Bakersfield where you're already spending
our community if they're from Bakersfield, for example. I mean, not that that really matters to me. I'm just curious.
Yeah, the money that we're raising here is used locally. I believe it's all kept within the county, and certainly, definitely for services in our immediate area. You know, the Bakersfield folks raised $2 million for services in their area, so
wow.
They understand how that works.
Yeah. It sounds like a fabulous opportunity, and I hope the advertising agency is spinning their wheels and thinking of ideas of how we can incorporate this and work with that Relay for Life website to get that word out. I think it'd be great to see some TV there and radio and print media, all of it covering that. It seems like it's a fabulous thing.
Well, we have all the materials ready to go. We have some lovely posters where we'll leave with you this morning for any businesses. These are free today, so feel free to take one with you and put it up in your business. We're going to start basically wallpapering the town. We've been out a couple of times just going out and putting up these posters all over the place. So if you have any questions, obviously you can call me at my office. My office number is 772-6188. You can contact Virginia, 772-6157. Or you can contact Heather directly if you'd like to, 208-6047. And, of course, our website is www.relayforlife.org/MorrowBayCA. We thank you very much for your time today and look forward to hopefully working with you in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea. Okay, we are on to committee announcements. Are there any committee announcements?
I'm sorry. Did want to have Tyson come up and give you a little update during public comment.
How's it going? As I'm sure everyone's aware, I'm Tyson, and I'm doing the study on Morro Bay residents' attitudes towards tourism. And I just wanted to give you guys an update. We completed all of the data collection, and we had a really good response rate. All my professors were quite surprised and impressed by how well it went. So basically, it was a 62% response rate, which was much higher than similar studies that have been done in different communities. So yeah, that was great. To give you kind of just a breakdown as far as how many went out, how many came back, including the pilot study, which was 20, 720 questionnaires went out to different resident households in the community, and 407 came back. So with those numbers, we'll be able to have a 95% confidence interval for the results. So that was, yeah, exceeded the goals when I initially started it. To give you just a little bit of kind of some of the results that are coming, still fine-tuning all of the analysis, and next month plan to be able to present like the final report to you guys. But to give you just a little idea, one of the interesting things that came from it is 44% said that they did want to learn more about the tourism industry. And the overall attitude towards tourism, it was on a 5-point Likert scale. So 3 was the neutral setting. And the average score was 3.8. So it is on the positive side. So that was really good to see as well. As far as connecting it to knowledge, of their knowledge of tourism industry, the two components that came out being strongly correlated were the economic variables as well as environmental. So that was kind of nice to see as well. In similar studies, they've shown economic, but they haven't shown that environmental component. And more of this information will be coming next month with the final report. But yeah, just kind of wanted to give you guys a update of where we're at and how well it's been going.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions?
I just want to say that's an amazing return. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
When do you think you'll have the final tabulation done? Will it be done by next month?
Yeah, I'd like to be able to present, have like a little PowerPoint to present next month to show the actual correlations and all the details of it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tyson. Okay, any other visitors?
Good morning. My name is Maggie Cox. I just wanted to reintroduce myself from Barnett Cox, also here with Sherry Clark from our office. And I wanted to just take a moment to acknowledge and thank Andrea and John for all the time and effort they're putting into helping us with a smooth transition. We've had several meetings. Things are going very well, and we look forward to a full transition in the very near future. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Anybody else? Now on to committee reports, or announcements, excuse me.
I have a quick announcement that upcoming, I think it's the
goggles and fish and everything attached to her swirly costume. It's really, there's a lot of creativity, it's a lot of fun, and Dockside 2 provides the food every year at no charge. So we just want to give them thanks again publicly. And while we're on the topic of events on Memorial Day weekend, don't forget Art in the Park. I know it's something that everybody knows is there all the time, but you've got to come and visit it every so often because there's a lot of new vendors there. Alan Cook does a really good job of doing outreach and getting new people. And if you haven't been there in a while, check it out again.
Yes. I want to remind everybody on June 4th is a music festival. On June 5th is a triathlon. And also, Savor the Central Coast has started advertising and selling tickets. And as last year, it's the same weekend as the Harbor Festival. And perhaps we should look into promoting the Harbor Festival. There's a picture of the Rock, but still, it's something we need to look at. I don't know what success we had last year. I'd never heard anything about how the Harbor Festival came out. There was supposedly a shuttle bus. I never heard anything about the shuttle bus, whether it operated or anything about it. So, but it's something that's coming up, and it's whether it conflicts, that's a question with the Harbor Festival.
It might be interesting to have a report from the Harbor Festival committee to see what they felt the impacts were and how we can help them with that. I'll give them a call. Anybody else?
I do. Okay. Good morning. Craig's not here, I notice, so I will probably give an announcement that he would give if he was here, and that is to remind everyone that tonight is the Chamber Monthly Mixer, and it's going to be held at Mud Fudge and the Hot Dog area down there on Morro Bay Boulevard and Harbor. It's at 5:30 until 7, and there's usually a drawing and prizes, and if you do have a business, if you're a member of the chamber, or even if you're not a member of the chamber, you're welcome to come. There's no charge. There's usually refreshments. And you also get to mix and meet with a lot of the business community and make some contacts. So the chamber mixer again tonight, 5:30 until 7 at Mud Fudge, which is on, I believe, just east of Morro Bay Boulevard on Harbor.
Thanks, Ed. Now, Andrea, we had a little glitch with our agenda. What got printed in our packets wasn't exactly what we had discussed. Is there any way we can incorporate some of these other items? For example, I think we had down there a film commission report. Now, that's probably something Janice could announce. whatever. I know she went to the mayor's meeting. So at least we could squeeze some of those items in and not be out of order.
Absolutely, and my apologies. I just looked at the agenda for the last time and noticed that it is not correct. So what we can do, there were a couple of other items, and I think what certainly we can do without getting into any issues with the Brown Act is under the item of discussion of new ideas, we can present these, and there can be some discussion on them, and then there's a consensus to put them on the agenda for the next time we can, and my sincere apologies. Just to remind you, I popped up on our emails what we had talked about, the budget subcommittee report. And I think you can put that under your committee reports up at the top. And then we did have just a real quick review of what was happening with the Film Commission. And then the two other items that I have, Chair Stewart, were funding events, the community promotions funding events such as the 4th of July and the Boat Parade, and also the potential funding of kiosks and downtown banners. So I think under discussion of new ideas, you can have some brief discussions. No decisions can be made, but we can certainly bring those back. And again, my apologies.
Okay. So let's move on then. We will put the Film Commission report under, what do you think, under the monthly reports, subcommittee
report? Or announcements. It's fine.
Okay. Do you want to do it now?
Sure.
Go for it.
All right. Yes, I did take the packet about the Film Commission to the mayor's meeting. It's about 3 weeks ago now, and it was very well received. I now have to go in and sort of niggle them to say, okay, you had the idea, now you have to respond to it. Neil Farrell wrote an excellent article that's in the Bay News this week, and I've already gotten one response from that, so that's a good thing. We need to start funneling those. I have Craig's presenting the entire idea to the chamber directors this, I think last week he did. I haven't talked to him since. And so we are getting the word out. This is going to be the slowest part of it, getting the information to funnel back to us. And it's going to take some time just getting on the phone and calling people and asking for the information. But there has been good response.
Do I have a motion to approve the minutes from February 17th?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Okay. Discussion?
Any discussion?
The only thing is that my name is misspelled at the very top, which is, it's not an adjustment. It's
is that
a note.
On, oh, yes. Add an S
not
to Peters. All in favor of approving the minutes with the adjustment of Janice's name? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. On to April 21st minutes. Any adjustments, changes, issues? No? Do I have a motion to approve the minutes of April 21st?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right. We have approved both months' worth of minutes. On to monthly reports. Visitor Center report. And we don't have our fearless leader here today. Let's see.
Can I say something?
Sure.
I know he's not here. If you notice, he also gave us a list of where the fulfillment is being mailed to. Mm-hmm. And I was glad to see that. I thought we would have a higher percentage of people in the state of California than we have. I think it's interesting to see where all this stuff is mailed to. And then I thought the graphs that he gave us and everything were really interesting. I have some questions for him, but since he's not here, I'll corner him someday on the street.
Okay.
Yeah, some observations I have also, and it seems to be continuing, and that is that as the website seems to be becoming stronger and stronger each year, our paperwork in terms of fulfillment, in terms of that type of fulfillment, the mailings mm-hmm. and the printed matter seem to be going down, yet the internet hits, the website hits keep getting greater and greater, and also the phone calls that we answer regarding events and things seem to be decreasing slightly. So again, I think they're finding the information on the internet, and what it shows is that our web page is becoming more and more effective, and that type of marketing is becoming more and more effective. So I don't know whether that's going to affect our budgets as far as print matter and things like that. That's something to look at, but it seems that if it does, we should be shifting some more money into the internet.
Good point.
But just an observation.
Okay.
I just had a comment, too. I know that Susan and Bill gave a really good presentation, and Ed gave a good presentation at the business forum about our committee. And, again, there were a lot of questions there from people who've never watched it, don't know what we do. And so what I started doing, the people that did express an interest, I'm forwarding this information to them now every month. So that they know, here, look, this is where we're getting the inquiries from. This is the people that are interested. This is what our advertising is doing. so that at least they have some awareness of what's going on here. Because that, as we all know, that's the most frustrating thing is getting them to understand what we're already doing.
I actually sent all the advertising agency reports to Chanel from last month to let her put it on that.
That's what I was going to suggest. That she was going to include these in her email, and I got the email also, and they weren't. Right. And I think every member of that business forum should be getting this.
Absolutely.
Whether they're interested or not, let them get it, and they'll start to become interested.
Let them look at it all.
Let's
remind her to do that, because that's the best way to do it. If it goes to everybody, I can only send it to people
I know. Exactly. She has that email. She sends out, I think, twice a month, or at least once a month she sends it out.
And that really, we need to get the word out to the people so that they know what we're doing, and if they don't like what we're doing or they want to change the direction, they can come and tell us, which would be really helpful.
That was our suggestion.
All right, I guess we should move on to budget report.
So basically, as you can see, we're getting down to the wire as we normally do at the end of our year of reaching June. We have some additional funds, but I think most of those will probably be exhausted by the time we conclude at the end of June. We have some additional money in the tourism local community awareness, but that's still Tyson's project, as you hear, is coming to a close, so there'll be some other expenses there. Continue to work on the web and various other things that you see there. So good news is we're on budget, and we'll be pretty much exhausted, as far as exhausting this budget, but then looking for the new agency to prepare the new budget. So that's where we're at with the budget. Any questions?
I have no questions. I want to be reflective of the success or lack thereof of the advertising campaign. Numbers in February were up this year. January were a little down, but I think we're doing pretty well overall. So
this discussion came up yesterday in the Pismo Beach meeting, which I also attend, and pretty much most of the hoteliers felt that there would be a strong April because of spring break. This anomaly happens every once in a while, so pretty confident that April will look pretty positive, because we've been up about 3% thus far, and I think Pismo's up about 10%.
All right, we can move on to the advertising agency report.
Okay. Basically, I just have a few things for you. One, I just wanted to share with you that as Tyson got up and spoke, we wanted to try to time this so I could still be involved at the end of the of his study. So basically, we'll be presenting that at the next meeting, and then we'll pass that off to the new advertising agency so they can implement some type of awareness program. Basically, we were going to use that survey information to determine what type of campaign we would have for our residents. So that will be probably something you'll want to discuss with them. But I think that I was very impressed with the with what Tyson did. He's done a fine job. It's been great to work with Cal Poly on this, and I think it'll be very beneficial to promote this to our residents, the importance of tourism. Also, I wanted to let you know that some of you may have gotten an email relative to the co-op program that my firm and Middle Marketing put together with the County VCB. We've had really outstanding results. As of right now, we have about 5,000 people who have ended up on that landing page that the advertising's directed them. We had over 3,600 people thus far sign up for the contest, which is the ultimate Central Coast getaway. And they had about 512 newsletter sign-ups. And we're probably about midway through the campaign, so I would expect that those numbers would probably double. So I've been pretty happy with the success. We've also seen one of the things that Rick will be reporting about, which I think is really significant, is that the County VCB website has become the number one referral site, which in the past has been maybe fourth or fifth down, and that's definitely attributed to the co-op program, because people are going to the VCB website and then they're coming to Morro Bay, which obviously is the only reason we would do the co-op, other than to promote the county, but we want to see some return for the individual partners. And we've also seen that in Pismo as well, that the VCB site has now become a significant referral source. So I think that's worked very well. As far as Maggie mentioned about the transition, we are working with the new agency. We met with the city, with Andrea and Rob, and had some discussions. We'll have a follow-up meeting on Friday at my office to talk, get my team with their team, about transferring over the website, the passwords, all those things, telling them about some of the little nuances as far as like the photo contest and how that works. Also bringing them up to speed on Saver, because obviously they're going to be very involved in that, something that I did last year that they'll need to take on. And I think I just wanted to show a couple of videos if I could. There's one that's on the website now. I think we'll show that Saver video first. That's the one that's on the website. And I was hired by Saver. I approached Steve Burns and wanted to help Saver, not just for my clients, but actually help Saver in general. So I produced this video, which was shown up at Hearst Castle. I think some of you were there and might have seen that. But I thought it might be nice to have the rest of the committee see this. This is what's the strategy behind this, and how, as I approached Steve Burns, the promoter, was to develop tools for Saver that could then be shared with all the different destinations, all the BID supporting partners, such as San Luis, Pismo, the county seabed. So we could give them videos, work with Facebook, and give them marketing tools for Saver that everybody would put on their website, and all of us kind of share equally in the promotion of it, even though San Luis maybe mentions, Morro Bay is mentioned as well, so we all kind of share in the effort. And I think it's working, because not necessarily just this effort, but in general, the ticket sales for Saver are up twice what they were last year. And they're seeing also that a lot of the tickets are coming from out of the market, which of course is significant, because that will mean overnight stays. My prediction would be in 3 or 4 years, if we keep at this, that we wouldn't even need to advertise Saver, that it'll just be something that people just put on their calendar and they immediately go to it. The Central Coast Wine Classic is a good example of that. Archie McLaren, who I'm working with a little bit on that, doesn't really have to do much marketing. I mean, everybody from LA comes up for that event, they put it on their calendar, they book their rooms a year in advance. So that would ultimately be the goal for Saver. I know that's what everybody's hoping for. So if you want to go ahead and show that.
Across miles of white sandy beaches and the blue Pacific with beautiful rolling hills, and as you join Sunset Magazine's editor-in-chief Katie Tammany and wine editor Sarah Schneider for the grand unveiling of the Western Wine Awards. Celebrity chef Kat Cora and Sunset's expert editors host culinary and wine seminars at the historic Santa Margarita Ranch throughout the weekend. It's wine tasting extraordinaire with taste samplings from over 200 wineries and 30 chef farmer teams. It's fun to explore the kitchen garden, too, along with the backyard farm. And at the Central Coast Pavilion, discover enticing Central Coast destinations. And then on Saturday night, October 1st, it's a beautiful night out on the town for Paso Glow, an exquisite culinary experience. Or the Mission Plaza Winemaker Dinner. Dine al fresco at the historic Mission San Luis Obispo de Tolosa and experience the talents of San Luis Obispo's top chefs, along with selections of Slow Vintner's best wines. Go online now to purchase your tickets at SaverCentralCoast.com. September 29th through October 2nd, it's your chance to savor the Central Coast.
So that's on our website. Also, we submitted that to all the various BIDs through the county VCB for people to put on their Facebooks. So basically, and then also, of course, it would be on the Saver website as well. And then I'm going to show you the video that I showed last month, because I wanted to tighten that up a little bit. Had some comments on the voiceover, which I really wasn't that happy with, so I changed that. And also, when I showed it to the BID, they were uncomfortable that there were just a few hotels shown, so we ended up shooting every hotel. And it's a quick little slideshow. I don't know how much coverage each one's going to get, but everybody's included, to be fair. So I thought it would be good, since it's changed, to show you the final version.
There is a place nearby where the character of nature is unspoiled, where the bounty of the earth and sea is evident everywhere you look, in the richness of the soil, in the freshness of the harvest, in the vastness of the ocean. It's a place of tranquility that permits visitors a rare glimpse into the qualities of life that are too often lost. It is a place that allows you to slow your heart rate, look deep inside, and discover that which is best about yourself. It is a place where you can come to discover your better nature. Morro Bay, on Scenic Highway 1, gateway to Big Sur, and over 100 miles of uninterrupted scenic coastline. Morro Bay, where there are as many things to do as there are to see, and you're invited. Where the seafood is fresh, the wine is world class, and the restaurants serve local ingredients direct from the farmers market. Here you can get to know the vintners, taste the fruits of their harvest, and discover gold medal vintages that will be the envy of all your friends back home. And you can find every kind of cuisine imaginable to accompany your delicious new wine discoveries. Talk about a great getaway. You'll find every conceivable kind of place to stay in Morro Bay. Cosmopolitan spas, B&B, or luxury suites. It's all available, it's all affordable, and it's all here, ready to welcome you with the warmest hospitality on the Central Coast. And Morro Bay is a great vacation getaway for the entire family. Experience the kind of magic that lets kids be themselves, unencumbered by the cares of everyday life. Morro Bay seems to bring out the playfulness in kids of all ages. All the tranquility, all the amenities, all the natural beauty, all the activities of an extraordinary seaside vacation, all right here, close by, for you to enjoy. Discover nature at its best. Discover the nature of true relaxation. Discover your better nature in beautiful Morro Bay.
So, hopefully you like that. As I mentioned in the last meeting, that was sort of my swan song after 18 years. I actually wrote that. I don't write a lot of these, but I wanted to kind of do one just on my own. And Rick's going to come up and talk a little bit about the website. And you guys all got the email with the stats, right?
Yep. So what we're going to do here is we're going to do a little bit on the stats, and then I'm going to bring you on a major update that we're going to, when we get ready to hand off, hopefully it'll all be complete and ready to go. And since Maggie and Sherry are here, they'll probably be interested in this too. The stats, basically, when you get to March and April, you've always got to combine them. And what we've been doing is tracking the number of visitors that have been hitting on morrobay.org with a smart device, the percentage, and then basically make some ideas of where we want to go, what kind of experience we want to show them. This month, a little over 10% of everybody that came on morrobay.org hit it on with a smart device. Last year in April, only 3.3%. But you got to remember, iPad just came out in April of last year. So that's tracking forward. And this growth is pretty consistent with our other clients. Interesting enough is, you know, who are these people with the smart devices? Is it a demographic that might show up in some study or something? Are they younger? Are they millennials? Are they people like me that are older that just happen to have a smart device in their pocket that know it? So that would be an interesting marketing challenge as this grows, because we all know that this growth is going to continue on to where pretty much no laptops, smart devices, tablets, whatever, are going to be in our pocket, in our purse, or whatever. And that's what we're going to do. And we're going to come into a destination like this, and maybe we don't have a reservation, and we're going to make it as we're walking around Morro Bay and see, hey, we want to stay here, type of thing. So the experience on the website and the different devices and that we have has got to kind of commingle. Now, we do have a smart device app that it will be. It's not been launched yet, because that's the next thing we're going to be talking about. So unless anybody has any questions on the stats, I'll move on.
go ahead. Thanks.
Daniel looked like you got a question. Were you just reaching?
Getting ready.
Okay, so here's the big news is, as you remember, months ago we had the website subcommittee, and I think Ed and Bill were on that, and we talked about how we wanted to migrate away from the content management system database site, which was morobay.org, onto a more standard site. That would be one of the reasons why we wanted to do that was flexibility. Just basically the structure of it would be better for search engine optimizations, using better URL-friendly page names and stuff like that. So when we were meeting like that, it was my job in the background is to basically migrate the site over into this new format, okay? And basically the whole site visually won't change. It's just the functionality and the structure will change considerably to give a greater advantage to the users of the site. And so what we had here is a whole bunch of hours that worked in converting it, and then I was getting ready to sit there and say, okay, let's put the sandbox up live someplace where we can finally test it all out, get it ready to go, and then flip the switch. So flipping the switch became the problem. After some investigation, I found out that basically morobay.org and the Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce didn't talk well to each other. They basically, you guys didn't own the rights to the changing anything on the site. So in other words, the domain name was registered and the technical contacts were somebody on Network Solutions, which was the domain registry out there. So it took Craig and I have to give Craig he did the heavy lifting, and this stuff isn't for the faint of heart. Finally, yesterday, you gained control of it with a login and password. So in other words, now I can go in, instead of pointing it over to these name servers over here, I can point it to where the new website's going to be. And that was the stop that stopped us. But what I'd like to do right now is refresh your memory a little bit. I know some of this is repetitive, but I'll take you through kind of some of the major changes. So are we on morobay.org here? So let's click on lodging. And then once the page loads, we've been having a little slowness with morobay.org today. Well, if it doesn't load in a timely fashion, whatever you want to do. One of the things, too, that we did is if you notice that a while back we had a flash animation on the page, and then we decided that was really slow loading, and so we went to the flash slideshow that's there now, and that's easy to change. It's run by an XML file, a simple text file. You can change it really easily instead of having to go back to a flash designer to reconfigure the page. So why don't we just go on to the new site? Go to the new site. I'll talk you through. This is the new version. You see, it doesn't look much different, but now watch how it behaves. So let's go down. I'm sorry, the calendar is old. I haven't updated that yet. Go to lodging.
Keep in mind, this is not live. This is just a sitting.
So now what you've got here is a slow internet connection for some reason. This, because if we were to go, yeah. Okay, so I'll talk you through it, and maybe he'll catch up with me here. Well, anyway, I'll talk your way through it. So instead of that page, what you're going to see is you're going to see a list of the hotels that randomizes. Every time you load the page, it comes up in a different order. So the Anchor Inn won't be always at the top. You know, the Tradewinds will be at the top sometimes. That we found out is a much more, you know, amiable way to do it, I guess. So in other words, and also not having a long scrolling page, instead of five or six scrolling page links there, you're only going to have basically one. Then they click onto that and they go to a hotel listing page that has a much more uniform look to it. It has a larger picture. But what is also nice underneath there, it'll have a direct link to their reservation page if they have one, a link to their website page, which will all be trackable. And then also we're going to put their TripAdvisor badge and their link to their Yelp listing there, which was, in other words, is a bigger benefit. So a lot of this is not there now. A lot of this will be structurally changes. The URL will be a lot friendlier to it, where it'll say, you know, Morro Masterpiece Hotel, Morro Bay Hotel, Morro Bay, California, which will be a lot better for search engine optimization. Yeah, Janice.
Can I ask a question? Will you have the capability as a viewer to rate them or have them in order by price range? I know that's the way I shop.
You know, that's very interesting. We've done that with some of our other clients. The only problem would be is what are the prices? In other words, if Daniel's got a hotel, is his price always going to be the same? What we did in Pismo Beach was do a dollar range. In other words, $1, $2, $3. And then if Daniel has rooms from $99 to $150, he might be a $1 to $2 range. Janice, right. You've got only $150 over, that would be a $3. Then we could add that in there. We've never had that information given to us. We could probably glean it off of Jackrabbit where you can go in and see that, but we'd have to go to the hotels and say, okay, hotels, we want to do the Janus initiative.
Well,
you know?
And that's what I look for when I do go online to decide
right.
where I'm going to stay someplace. I look for the range.
Right.
So they'll have a low rate and a medium rate and a high, and I always I shop low.
If I could, I think
so that it's really helpful because it focuses your search.
I think what happens is that just because of the way Jackrabbit's set up, people do look have the ability to see that. And what we're finding on Jackrabbit, which is interesting, is that they search the cheapest hotels and then move on from there. So it's kind of an interesting thing. I guess that's probably pretty standard. Most people would start at the low price, and if that's not what they wanted as far as amenities, then they kind of continue to go on up from there. There might be some issues with the hoteliers, you know, as far as if they wanted to list them that way, but certainly something that, you know, we can bring up to them. And again, when the website's redone, as I'm sure it will be, that might be a consideration as well.
So this is our randomized list, and you notice we've been listening to you that you wanted to make pet friendly. There's a little pet that's out there. It's also the girl that's been doing the pet friendly handout. That's their same logo, so if you wanted to do some kind of identification there. So each time that page is loaded, that list randomizes. Go down and find the Best Western San Marcos Inn. It right there. Click on that, and then this is a typical hotel listing, assuming that it will load. So there it is. In other words, nice big picture, and you can see there it's got the address, the amenities, the description, and then there's a link to the website, the online reservations, the location map with using Google Street View, too, so you can spin it around and look at what's in the area of that. But then the last thing we've added here is the TripAdvisor badge and the link to the Yelp. Those are big decision makers now in deciding what, you know, hotel you want to go stay at. So a lot of people like Janice would probably read the reviews of that, you know, once you got onto that point. So those are some of the things. Another little thing is if you click on the Morro Bay webcam over there, the Morro Bay webcam in our current website comes up in its own window. We have no ability to track how many people click on it because it's just going out into the world and bringing this in. What I've done is that basically is embedded it into its own web page. So the plugin's probably not on, so we'll track how many people. Sorry, losing my voice. How many people came on the webcam to look at the tsunami? You know, and that was a huge thing in Pismo Beach, and it would be interesting to know those things, so you could see how many people are doing that. So in other words, we've taken the current website and really said, okay, let's apply some new things to it, make it more flexible, so when they want to add something to it, it'll be a lot easier than trying to wrangle with the database, which wasn't very friendly. The menu on the left side under the Morro Bay Rock is basically one file. So if you wanted to add or subtract a navigation thing, change one file, it populates the whole website.
So pretty good system, easy and in one place for people to look at all of the lodging. Walnut Creek, big community, a lot of money. They have no centralized clearinghouse for hotels. The ones we did find were all full and cost about $400 a room. So it's interesting to me that really as a small community, we are doing quite well thanks to our, you know, website and advertising agency and the chamber, you know, that it's all in one place. You go to the Walnut Creek Chamber, there's nothing about lodging. Yeah, so anyhow, just kudos to all of us for doing a good job.
That's all I had.
Thank you so much, John. Website subcommittee, did you guys meet?
We did not have a meeting.
Shocking. Okay, how about creative review subcommittee? I don't think, and Tracy was on that, I don't think they met. So we could go on the budget subcommittee did meet. That was Dan Podesto, Ed Krovitz, and myself. I'll give just a little brief report. We discussed continued advertising in the Valley with more of a focus on local San Luis Obispo County, Monterey, and Santa Barbara County advertising and in-town Morro Bay outreach. I think Dan said he'd like to see a Shop Morro Bay campaign versus Shop Local. So we want to direct them to where we want them shopping local. Considering using our local outreach dollars, which were $4,000, and tourism local community awareness dollars, which were $5,000, so a total of $9,000, on local media, whether it was TV, radio, that kind of in-house advertising. And then this was something that was going to come up on the agenda, and we'll discuss it under new ideas, but consider committing a cash line item amount to fireworks for the 4th of July and possibly to the lighted boat parade as being two of the iconic trademark Morro Bay events, and whether it's worth having this committee as a city representative supporting those events since they don't have staff and don't have any other regular funding. Asking the city not to reduce our budget while we negotiate with the new agency and discuss a new community promotions committee program, and I have addressed the council on that in public comment and pretty much got some clarification from the mayor and from Andrea that it sounds like they're not making any drastic changes to the budget for the coming year thus far. We discussed evaluating both Community Promotions Committee and TBID budgets with both boards, Craig Schmidt and the advertising agency, to avoid redundancies in advertising programs and strategize for a different focus so that CPC would be encouraging day trips to Morro Bay from areas within and outside of the county in order to provide for a healthy economy for merchants and restaurants as well as hoteliers during weekdays and off-season. And then the last thing we looked at in the budget was the web and social media budget and evaluate the spending for the coming year. We noticed that between TBID and CPC, a total of $41,000 was spent on that. And given that we have lots in place now, perhaps that part of the budget can be reduced. So that was our report there. Anybody remember anything else? Okay. All right, and then we are on to unfinished business. And we have nothing listed, so we will go to new business. Okay, which new business item should we hit first? How about talking about combined meetings? We had discussed the possibility of having joint TBID-CPC meetings, a format where we would start Community Promotions Committee first thing in the morning, have a central part of the meeting where we would discuss advertising agency report, visitor center report, the things that are in common so they don't have to be repeated. Then Promotions Committee could step down and TBID could continue with their part of the business meeting. Another suggestion was just to combine the committees. Hopefully we're not going to head in that direction just yet. But we had also talked about the need to combine both committees maybe on a quarterly basis, so we all know we're on the same page. So, Andrea, we had discussed the possibility of doing that combined meeting for next month. Is that what I'm remembering?
I think so. And, again, my apologies, I wasn't at your April meeting. But I believe that what we would take forward to the TBID is just your discussion from today on your interest in having a combined meeting, a completely combined meeting for the beginning at 9, and then we'll look at the format after that for what we're going to do in the future to hopefully cut down on the repeating of some of the some reports.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
The next meeting is going to be a joint meeting?
At 9.
At 9.
That's the proposal.
And then it will be both committees, and we'll get a report, the normal reports we have.
How will we do our meeting for the business we must conduct?
Yeah, how do you...
What we'll probably do is not have a separate... If you're truly going to have a joint meeting, the proposal was not to have an individual meeting. You could do an individual meeting at 9, or I'm sorry, at 8, if that's what your interest would be.
Yeah, the way I understood it originally was we were going to start at 8 o'clock with our meeting, try to get our business done, which would not include the agency reports and things like that, until 9 o'clock. At 9 o'clock, the T-bid would come in, sit down, and then we would continue our meeting with the combined information, with the agency reports, with the web pages and things like that. That would last an hour. At 10 o'clock, we would leave, the T-bid would stay and continue with their meeting, and that would just be a continuum.
And we're actually talking about the same thing. That's the format that we're talking that has been proposed for meetings instead of combining both boards. Mm-hmm. And making one board. I think what we're talking about is, and that's, I think that format is interesting. I know the city attorney has had a few little concerns with how to notice that, but I understand that. I think what we're talking about for next month is just a regular joint meeting, different than the format you're talking about, a joint meeting, you meet together for the entire meeting, and we've done those on occasion, not lately. So I think that's the thought. Yeah. We're talking about the
advertising same
thing.
Agency, yeah, when we were listening to the presentations from the advertising agencies, and we did that joint meeting more along that line.
If I could make a comment, I think that just sort of looking forward to what the agenda would be for June, I think that would probably work because we're done. I mean, basically. And I don't mean my agency's done, but I mean we're done even if we were going to continue. I mean, we're done with the budget. Mm-hmm. I don't have a lot to report. There's not a lot on the agenda. A lot of the creative is sort of stopped now. So I think if you had a meeting at 9 o'clock and had both boards, probably would go pretty well because I don't know if we could even fill an hour at the promotions committee level unless, I mean, that's your guys' call, of course. But it seems to me that it probably would be a good time to have a group meeting because the agency is going to be simultaneously taking over at the same time. And there'll probably be some more discussions about transition, so both boards will be able to hear that. Mm-hmm. There will be some discussion, as far as budget, but as you just saw, I mean, there's really not much more to discuss. I mean, we've expended those funds. The T-bid's a little different because they have some money that they've wanted to hold for Saver and some other things. But I think under normal circumstances, meeting at 8 o'clock, first would probably be the way to go. But I think with the reality of what the June meeting is going to be like, I think it probably would work just to have a joint meeting.
Yeah, I think it's a good time, too, to let T-bid get across the concept to them that our focus is changing as a promotions committee towards the more local.
I agree. I was mostly thinking of the technical things that we have to do and they have to do, like approved minutes and new business and old business and the discussion, those things for committee reports,
right,
which they don't need to hear and we don't need to hear theirs. But I understand, and I think it's a good idea. We should have combined.
Hopefully it can go pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I guess I would only add one thing, and that's that when you've got two boards of potentially 14 people together, I'd say start at 8:30. Some of us do have other commitments, and I can't go beyond 10:15 or so. So I don't know if others have to open businesses and things like that. If we could move it a little bit earlier,
is that
it's a compromise on both sides.
Is that a possibility to do it at
8:30? Sure, we can talk to T-Bit about that.
Okay. Why don't we suggest that?
We'll suggest that.
Okay.
Gives everybody a little bit of a chance to
explain. I guess the other option, too, would be as it's not to complicate this, but we could have this joint meeting and then the promotions committee could leave and the T-bid could continue because the reality the T-bid has a much larger agenda and a lot more things usually to discuss. Mm-hmm. That might be helpful. I mean, maybe the joint meetings last an hour and then the T-bid goes on with its business, but that's just a thought.
I just know with these two groups, an hour is really being optimistic.
Yeah, I don't think that will happen if the T-bid's going to go through their full agenda.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. All right, so we have then, you will be discussing the joint meeting next month with T-bid. We'll look at hopefully an 8:30 start time, and we'll find out more about that. Next idea for a new item would be this concept of whether it's appropriate for the Community Promotions Committee to fund events or help with funding events. We did commit.
Keep bringing it back and begging for money.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Yeah, I'm all in favor of supporting local groups and they need financial support. Whether a line item on our budget for that particular group is necessary, I really question, because how do we specify and how do we select that one group over another group? Next year, a group forms, and they're going to have a Memorial Day weekend Veterans Memorial, and they come to us and they say, "Well, you're funding this and funding this. How do we get on? How do we get on your list? Why won't you fund us?" So I don't mind having a contingency or a fund for local promotions, but naming them and putting them in an item budget, a line item budget item, is questionable to me. I have concern with that because I think it can lead to things that we might not want to address at this point.
One thing you might consider is that this is how PISMO resolved this, and this was more because in PISMO the BID and the CVB, which will be equivalent to promotions, that's all one group. But what they did was very similar to what the council does when people want to request for funds or support. You have a deadline to that, and those people come with their ask, and then once you've reached that period, then they can't come again until the next budget. Because I think if you don't budget for it, and I understand, Ed, completely what you're saying, I mean, it's hard to put those in as line items. However, if you don't budget for it to some degree, then what do you take out? Because, you know, whatever, whether it's the new agency or myself, we would have a budget. So then all of a sudden we're looking at, say, we have to cancel this ad or cancel this to fund that. So that might be one thing to consider. Also, just the criteria being that it does relate back to promotion. And because I would just caution you, and as you get into hard cost of, you know, of putting on an event, I think that opens up the doors pretty substantially and pretty wide, and it does kind of get away from what your task is, I think. So it would be, I think it's also important for the agency to control that so that the branding message is the same. The agency traditionally knows more about it. Nothing against a nonprofit or whoever's doing it, but that's what they do, and they can get better rates. They might piggyback on what the existing advertising program is. So those are all considerations.
Once we have an item in our budget that says it's for promotion, that puts all these groups on notice that, yes, the promotion committee may give you help and can give you help. But as John says, they have to apply for it and make it each year. So some years they may need it, some years they may not. Maybe the fourth won't need as much help next year, and you have some other funding sources, and you won't need to ask for the same amount every single year. You can ask for a little less, or maybe you won't need us. Maybe you'll need more, and you can come for more. But it'll put each group on notice that, yes, we can help, but come and apply for it, and when our budget runs out, it runs out. And there's a time limit and the form, and it's done properly. And that way we're not beholden to same groups every single year.
I do kind of see this, though, as it was a little different in terms of the fireworks, because what we were looking at was, I think, funding the barge and helping with actually purchasing fireworks. So it was not so much advertising, which almost goes without saying that we would be putting that kind of thing into our promotions. I know you've always listed the events that are coming up in the various ads that have gone out. So perhaps there would be something where, say, we have a $10,000 item in our budget that says event promotion or event, community event, promotion.
I like what Ed said about the application process, and a lot of groups do that, so that makes sense. It's something that should be easy for the events to respond to, and that way they know, you know, if we don't get our request in at this time of year, we can't be considered until next year, and then we know exactly how much we have to allocate to the various people that apply.
And then I
like that idea.
I think we'd want to have guidelines, too, that suggest that this is, you know, nonprofits, unfunded groups, probably not having any paid staff, you know, that kind of thing, so that we're really looking at. And also, I think something that suggests that these are very representative of our community. And certainly the lighted boat parade to me is, you know, the only in Morro Bay kind of event. And then the 4th of July, the fireworks, is really a community effort that I think we're trying to make be a focus of the summer for Morro Bay. So, and there may be some other things that would come along. So perhaps we can put this on the agenda, maybe not for June, but for July to continue. But it might be good to get together a group or two of us that would draft the proposal for that, what that would look like.
You know, that the creative group was supposed to come up with a form.
Mm-hmm, that's right. That
thing you want to move towards, but certainly we could put it on your agenda for the July meeting, look at what you're doing. You think it is time consuming. The TBID has gone from reviewing those requests meeting at each meeting to quarterly. So it's something to consider and make a determination if you want to go down that road.
Let's put it on the agenda for June.
Yeah, so we'll agendize it for June then.
July.
Any
June?
Other?
Wait, just, can we do that?
July, rather, July. Excuse me. Okay. Along that same line, whether we go into funding things that are not direct advertising campaigns was kiosks, whether this committee would help with financing kiosks that would be put up in various parts of town away from the visitor center so that people who are coming into the community would have a way to stop, get information that would eventually direct them down to that visitor center if need be, but that they could pick up pamphlets, brochures, possibly information about the town and where things are.
I think Craig was working on getting costs and designs, various mm-hmm. types, how they would be installed, where they would be installed, mm-hmm. and what the cost would be. Then there's a labor to maintain them, mm-hmm. to keep them stocked, and what will go in them. Mm-hmm. Will it be slanted more toward hotels? If they, what percentage they're going to pay, and if they are, would they get 80% of the rack space be hotels, or would it be events, or would it be other types of businesses? What businesses would go in them? Would the businesses pay extra to be in these extra kiosks or not? Would they have a fee? There are companies that do service these racks that go around and put which the businesses sign up with, and then the company services the racks. So there's lots of questions still to be answered, and I think Craig is currently, if I'm not mistaken, working on it. So we should have a discussion on it, but we need some information on costs, where they would be installed, yeah. locations that would be acceptable to having one put in their business. Like I know there's one at the mobile station. Where else could we put these kiosks?
The last I heard from him, he'd gotten price ranges from $4,000 to $8,000 mm-hmm. for relatively simple two- or three-sided kiosks. And he had also talked with the Chevron station, who was interested in having information mm-hmm. there. But I think you're right. We probably do need a little more research into that. Do we feel as a committee that it's an appropriate place for some of our funds to go?
I would think the funds should go to whomever is going to be responsible for the racks. If it's going to be the chamber or the visitor center or whomever or in private business, then that funding should be specifically directed toward them to build and maintain
right.
these racks.
Yes.
And that's it. As far as our responsibility to physically do anything, no.
No. No. But it would be city money coming through our committee that would be awarded to facilitate that development.
I think it should be done in cooperation with the BID because mm-hmm. the hotels are going to benefit greatly by this. Mm-hmm. Other businesses will too, but I think it depends on what information is going to be in that rack. Is it mm-hmm. going to be strictly motels and hotels? Will it be 85% motels?
They
need to be in on this too, I think.
I see it almost more as where are things in town? You know, what is North Morro Bay? Where is the Embarcadero? Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, people don't always know when they come into town on Main Street and Morro Bay Boulevard. You know, where's the water?
Well, the same information doesn't necessarily have to be in each rack either. The
right.
racks can be stocked differently.
Right.
But I still think that the BID should have some funding okay. in this program also.
Okay.
I think Part of it should be in the advertising that we would do with an event. If an event's going to be advertised, then they could have a rack card or whatever it is to put in the kiosk. As far as us getting involved with financing the kiosk itself, I just don't think we have the money to do that. And then there's, as Ed said, the maintenance of them, the supplying of the rack carts. My experience has been at the Chamber of Commerce, and that's a difficult task to get the rack, the people to reprint the card to put in the rack and things like that. So you constantly end up changing things. And then there's the one company that does nothing but service racks. And to me, maybe that would be the way to go, but the only problem there, you might not be able to keep it limited to Morro Bay. You might have to, because they cover the whole Central Coast. Servicing kiosks is not the easiest job in the world.
You know, the other concept would be something that just has a map.
Yeah, if you're going to have a phone and electricity. Mm-hmm.
That's all you need. And those are nice-looking boards, and they're maintained, and the video goes 24/7. Now, sometimes you have to go back and reset it because it skips or stops. But they're nice-looking boards, and it's in a beautiful place down there because visitors do gather down there and walk by, and they see this board. And if they just come to town and they want to make a reservation, they have no idea about hotels. The beauty of it is you don't need any paperwork. You don't need rack cards. There's nothing to maintain other than wash it, wipe it down every now and then and make sure it's running. But as far as the board, it's a good-looking board, and paint it once a year or whatever, and it's...
Well, I think that's a great idea, and I think if we've got the Chevron station and the mobile station, the two entrances to town, because you're right, when I first came to Morro Bay, I had no idea where anything was. And granted, that was 20 years ago now, and it's a lot better now with directional signs and things, but to find out where the main areas are, you really do need that immediate off-the-highway direction, someplace where you can go and not just be wandering around lost. So I think that would be a great way to... At least let's start investigating that.
Gas
for
stations
those two
are
locations.
Excellent.
And I like the electronic rather than the paper.
The gas stations are excellent because they have the parking, they have the signage, and they can add another sign, tourist information. Gas stations are very good spots.
So let's put that on agenda item, I guess. We'll discuss it more in July, but I think it would be worth bringing up with TBID at our meeting there, since it will involve them as well. Any other new ideas anybody wants to bring forward? Boy, you guys are quiet. Okay. Declaration of future agenda items. So we had... whether we'd be funding events.
Relay for Life.
Relay for Life needs to go
kiosks.
On there. The kiosks, the combined meetings, and the format for those, and how often we would do just a complete combined meeting and how often we have this kind of staggered meeting. I would like to hear more about the Film Commission as things come along. There was one other thing. Think if it comes to me, Andrea, I'll call you and have it on.
Is this group in agreement? Excuse me, Brenda. Mm-hmm. Is this group in agreement that we would like that three-part meeting structure to combine the meetings?
Dan's shaking his head.
No.
No. Okay. Why not?
What would you like, Dan?
I'd like to see enough differentiation between what our money is being allocated towards that we can have two separate meetings. I think I've been convinced that having two separate groups is important. And then just differentiating the groups enough to have two separate agendas so we're not duplicating the discussion and the efforts between the both groups, I think, would just be the cleanest, easiest thing to do.
Okay. I think we're talking about the same thing. With having the promotions from 8 to 9, joint meeting 9 to 10, and this is on a general basis, not the specific joint meetings, but our regular meeting schedule, promo 8 to 9, joint 9 to 10, and then TBID 10 to whenever.
And I'm saying I don't like that.
You don't want to.
See, I think
right.
I think that accomplishes what you're asking because we'll have our own separate agenda. We'll have our own voting and meeting. The combined meeting will help city staff and the agency by not having to repeat the same thing that they repeat in the next hour that they're going to say. They said today that they'll have to say from 10 to 11. They say that from 9 to 10 one time. We leave. TBIT right. comes in and has their meeting, their separate meeting, totally separate, votes on their budgets, and then they leave. So I think what it does, it cuts maybe 15, 20, 30 minutes off each meeting and gives city staff and the agency an opportunity to say it only one time.
And I understand that idea that's being proposed, and what I'm saying is that I don't necessarily think that's the best format. I think if there's not an overlap of funding from this group and from TBID for one specific item, we don't have to address it in two different meetings. If this group is responsible for item A and TBID's responsible for item B, then item A can be discussed in our meeting and item B can be discussed in their meeting. We have enough differentiation that we don't have to duplicate the conversation. And we don't have to have an overlap. That's what I think.
I think the overlap is simply on the reporting. The decision-making, it does keep the decision-making separate. What I'm concerned about is if we combine into one group, then we do have that conflict of, you know, what's city money and what's TBID money, which are very specific different funding sources. The reason I ask the question is because if we were in agreement as to that format, I think that a formal letter or presentation from this committee to the council so that they know that we really do believe that this is the best way to go first, at least, mm-hmm. you know, as a next step, if, you know, rather than...
We are adjourned.
Hey.